our good buddy, the host of Leafs Nation pre and post here on Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Gord Stellick, is with us now. Gordy, morning after the night before, your assessment, I think you've been on the phone line for a couple of minutes, your assessment of my take, which is that the Leafs, outside of the final 4 minutes of the third period of Game 4, a near-historic comeback, which would probably only happen one time out of 100 at best, the Leafs were outplayed from about the middle of Game 3 on.
Yeah, morning, guys. And, you know, it's funny. It's almost like if you're talking about a postmortem, Scott and Ziggy, we get two cracks at it because, like you say, Friday night, the postmortems were being done. I was set to go on Leafs Nation postgame and talk about a team going out with a whimper, not a bang. And then we got it. Then there's another chance. And good on the Leafs for creating that opportunity. And I don't know whether it's one out of 100 or one out of two or three, whatever, but it was incredible circumstances that brought about last night's game. But then, you know what? I thought I was watching exactly what I was watching on Friday with 5 minutes left in the game. Down 3-0 and just this inability to close the deal, whatever that may mean. And, you know, in the big picture, as we go through the minutiae about guys not scoring, who played, who didn't, who showed up, whatever, it Sheldon Keefe used a line when they blew the 3-0 lead and lost, and he said they got what they deserved in that game, that we as fans are probably saying, wow, they're up 3-0, but he's saying, I'm not really liking a lot of things that are going on here. And really, in the big picture, think about this season. The Leafs got what they deserved. It's a disappointing season. This is flat out a disappointing season. It goes back from to the dysfunctional press conference that Mike Babcock and Kyle Dubas had at the end of last season, where you're aware you had a coach and general manager that were not on the same page. That's never a good recipe. And that's the way the season started. And the trade that happened never materialized as far as Tyson Barry and Kerfoot went. And good on Sheldon Keefe and the talent of the guys to get themselves out of a really, really big hole to somehow, you know, make the playoffs, because they were really in a deep hole. But this has been it. It's been a year that he said they lack some maturity. They blew big games. They seemed disinterested at certain times. This was a step back, and I don't think a lot of people were expecting a step back.
Toronto started Hyman, Nylander, Kapanen, and I saw this starting lineup, and I was thinking this is going to be really good or really bad. I'm not sure I like Nylander as a centerman. I like the fact that it drags him into games if he's not moving his feet or nothing's happening. But I just wanted your thoughts on him at center and if that was kind of the right move for Keith to do.
Well, I mean, easy looking back that, you know, he took too many men on the ice penalty because he forgot he was a center. He really wasn't up on the defensive zone coverage as a center. But, you know, you can say, okay, he's a little rusty that way. And you can say the coach understood that. He was aware of that. He just decided, look what got them to the dance the other day. I got nothing else. I got one line. Offensively, I got a fourth line that's been doing the job, but it's a different kind of job, you know, not scoring goals. So I'm going to try to garner the momentum of what all those guys did in the final 5 minutes. And, you know, for me, as one of those guys last year that was lamenting why Patrick Marleau was out there trying to get that final goal instead of Austin Matthews in the old Mike Babcock era, I can't be a hypocrite and say that I was against that. The only problem is, you know, Ziggy, beyond that, it really showed your flaws in that there was no secondary scoring whatsoever. And that's one reason Nick Robertson started game one, you know, really to try to get some secondary scoring going. So, unfortunately, in Nylander's case, there were a couple of blips that hurt the team, but man, that first line was phenomenal to watch. They just couldn't, you know, I give them credit, all kinds of chances. I want all those guys back on the team. You know, the whole debate about contracts and whatever they're in, that's for another day, because we know that. There's been not the most astute way they've put the team together contractually, and they've handcuffed themselves where you can argue that wouldn't have been necessary. But those are really, really skilled guys, but that's all he had. And the playoffs is a four-line team, really, or three-line anyway, but usually four-line teams are the ones that win it.
Gord Stellick, the host of Leafs Nation pre and post here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, is with us. This is Leadoff, and we are breaking down the Leafs' loss to Columbus, the postmortem underway all morning long here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Some yes or no's about whether these names will return. And, Gord, I think some yeses are obvious, but still I'm going to throw their names out there anyway. Austin Matthews.
Yes.
And I'm going to jump right
start
on that
with an
one,
easy
too.
One. I like that.
Start with the easy one.
That's good, yeah.
John Tavares.
Yes.
Frederik Andersen.
Yes.
William Nylander.
Again, when you talk about returning, so when I say no, I mean he seems to be the guy that's the most tradable. I'm not talking get rid of anybody, so I will say a good chance no.
Mitch Marner.
Yes.
Tyson Berry.
No.
Okay, so I'm with you on all of these. Here's one that I think is a bit of a wild card, although he's not in the top six. Kasperi Kapanen.
A guy you look to trade.
Yeah, I agree with you there. This is a bit of a loose comparison because I think he may have had a little bit more natural goal-scoring talent, but there's a bit of a Sergei Berezin and Kasperi Kapanen. There's a lot of looking good and not a lot happening.
Well, he got an overtime goal against Washington.
Way back.
That's 1,000 years ago. Like, these guys are all in their fourth year, not their second year, and guys like Riley and Anderson are in their seventh year. So anyway, so I agree with you on that. And again, we're talking about trading. We're not get rid of. Everyone wants to get rid of better. I think we're on the same page that way.
But how do you address, Gord, the need to improve the right side of the defense, or even if you're not concerned about LDRD, the need for like this bona fide numero uno, this 25 to 30 minute a night guy who's an absolute stud. And the answer may be, well, they have one in Morgan Riley, but I'm talking like a Pietrangelo, who, you know, unrestricted free agent. I'm talking about a guy who you absolutely slot on your top pairing and is out there every other shift.
Well, I don't. If there's another Ryan Johansson for Seth Jones trade, then that would be dynamite. Those are sort of few and far between. I am very big on Morgan Riley, and I think he was hurt pretty well all the regular season. I'm very big on Morgan Riley, so I think I have no problem him being that guy. And, you know, Jake Muzzin being kind of a 1B is a decent 1B as well. So I can't really see that player existing when we're talking about, you know, maybe there's a project. That's where the Nylander potential deal comes in, that there's someone you like. I know at one point Jared Spurgeon was a name a couple of years ago they were kicking around, for example. So, you know, that's just the kind of thing. I mean, otherwise, you look at what Don Waddell's done in Carolina, that Dougie Hamilton was out of the lineup, and they had Brett Pesce's out of the lineup, and they had Sammy Vaughton, and they had Brady Shea by the trade deadline. And, you know, just so you add some depth that way, and who knows what can happen. Cody Ceci and Tyson Berry, it didn't happen for them. Travis Dermott really didn't develop big time. Morgan Riley was injured, it seemed, for most of the season. Martin Marincin, you know, poor Martin Marincin, but everyone just kind of looks at him being on the line as a defeat means you haven't improved your D enough if you have to play him. And the only guy really that had a solid season was Justin Hall in a lot of ways. So, I mean, rather than the big enchilada, there's other ways to get depth on your D. And I remain bullish on Morgan Riley. You don't have money to get Alex Pietrangelo. The guy wants to stay in St. Louis anyway, but even if he wanted to go somewhere, you don't have money to get him.
How about a guy like Johnsson, Gordo? I mean, I was a little surprised they put him in. I understand it's an elimination game, but hasn't played in a long time, getting thrown in right at the end of the series. I wasn't thrilled about that. Obviously, he scores that 2-on-1 shot. Keith and management are brilliant, right? But at the same time, I didn't like that kind of fit with him just not being in it. Is he a guy that sticks around too, you think?
Yeah, I think he does. I mean, you got guys contractually, again, there's not a lot of contracts they really have to do, and money will be a big part about guys that are at a, you know, a level that helps fit into the cap. So, I mean, all these guys, Ziggy, can be traded if it matters in making a trade. And, you know, to be honest, the Jake Muzzin deal a year ago last March, I thought was a good deal by Kyle. Jack Campbell was a good deal. It's too late, though. I mean, you went too far with Michael Hutchinson. You know, ever since the Curtis McElhinney decision, your backup goaltending, you can argue, cost you a few points and could have made a lesser opponent be your opponent in this play-in round. Now, saying that, some of the lesser opponents won their play-in rounds too. But, you know, just a lot of just little things that add up. Like, not having a good backup goaltender has taken its toll over the two regular seasons till Jack Campbell came around. The same is about, it'd be great to have the stud on D, but not having the depth on D takes its toll as well. And so the depth thing is something you can address more than getting the stud. And I guess to get back to your question about Johnsen, I don't know what, maybe they evaluated Nick Robertson had slid a little bit. Maybe he was one of those guys Sheldon Keefe was talking about in game number three that he didn't like the way he played in that game. I would have to think that would be the reason, because otherwise they were desperate to inject depth scoring. And I love that the guy shot from everywhere, because I remember once he ticked off Kerfoot that wanted the puck, because the guy just took shots from everywhere, you know, got a goal, almost got one in the first shift of his first game. So I would have to think Sheldon didn't like other parts of his game, because, you know, I wasn't huge on him making that move.
Gord, always good to hear your voice. There's going to be a lot that goes down here. I mean, who knows? The Leafs could be armed with the first overall draft pick this time tomorrow morning. I mean, who the heck knows? We'll certainly continue to invite you on and break it down. We appreciate your perspective as always.
Well, I tell you, it's great talking sports, isn't it? Whether it's the Jays, the Raptors, the Leafs, the PGA, and all that. So it's a great change, and I'll talk to you guys down the road.
You bet. Gord Stellick, the host, alongside Nick Elberga of Leafs Nation pre and post here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.